This is Robert Martellacci, publisher of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology magazine. Our April Across Canada spotlight is on La Belle Province de Quebec, along with our special Buyer's Guide edition. I'm fortunate to have joined me this afternoon for a Mindshare Learning moment, Dr. Claude Martel, who holds a PhD in educational technology and has over 25 years of experience in the field of education, training, communication, media production, public relations, and in the implementation of cutting-edge technology. He is currently professor in the Department of Educational Technology at Concordia University. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Dr. Martel.
It's nice to talk to you, Robert.
Well, we go back a few years. Roy, you were founder of the Canadian eLearning Enterprise Alliance, and you have your own consulting firm. You've been a busy man.
I try to be.
Now,
This is an exciting field, so it's kind of, you want to be busy. There's so many things happening at the same time right now that you want to look and see what's happening everywhere.
And on that note, let's talk a little bit about your roots. Possibly a well-kept secret, Concordia has the oldest EdTech program in all of Canada. Had I known that, I might have enrolled there instead of Pepperdine, Claude.
Now, it is a well-kept secret. Like, would you believe that the EdTech department is over 45 years old?
Wow.
Which means that's before computers, that was like what we would call the multimedia age, like audiovisual and things like that. And it already at Concordia, we were trying to look at the impact of these new technology, whether they're the overhead projector, the PowerPoint, the AV revolution, and of course, the computer and internet revolution that we're now in.
Absolutely. Why is EdTech so hot today versus 10 years ago versus 20 years ago? You know, I've been part of this space for the last 15 years. I'm feeling like a grandfather of sorts in this.
Me too. Don't worry about that, yeah. Robert. But it's funny because you're right. You could even say in the last like 10 years, there's been a huge shift in how the learning technologies have been used all over the world. And there's a couple of reasons. Like around 2004, 2006, there's been a few landmark studies in educational technology that have been done. One that is really world famous by Robert Bernard of Concordia, who's a friend and a mentor to me. For the first time, compare all the research available comparing classroom and online learning. And he found something incredible. He found that there was no significant difference between learning online and learning in the classroom. Of course, you have to be careful here, like of the same quality. You could have like bad online material and bad online courses.
Yeah, I agree.
So that created a real mind shift everywhere in the world. For the first time around that period, people start to say, hey, distance learning or online learning is not a second-rate way of learning. We can use it as an effective tool. And that was really a first revolution that started. Right after that, there's been an enthusiasm, and technology started to evolve dramatically. You might have heard about the $35 tablet that has been implemented in India.
Yes, and it has its roots in Quebec, if I'm not mistaken. It's a Quebec company that's part of that.
Actually, it's two Indian immigrants coming to Quebec, did the Sky tablet over there. Yes.
Right.
And it's fascinating. And now we see the technology dropping in price. I remember 10, 15 years ago, we were talking about creating an hour of e-learning, and we were talking about $100,000. Now we're talking about, like, for the same hour of e-learning, less than $1,000. And that's in a decade. We're seeing the price of the technology, the LMSs, the authoring system, and things like that, dropping like crazy. And on the other side, they become also more and more easy to use. I can actually teach you how to use a simple virtual classroom platform or an authoring software probably within a few hours. Like I do that in my classes. At one point, I decided to teach Captivate, and I took 3 hours, and at the end, they were all up and running. So there's been the second technology shift where the price and the ease of use has been really, really growing.
That's exciting times, yeah.
The third factor it is mostly a global factor. It's really a globalization factor. We're now seeing, after the globalization of like manufacturing and commerce and things like that, we're now looking at the globalization of education. And of course, we've been always in a very, very fortunate area where Canadian education has been always rated in the top 5, 6 in the world for the last, 15 years. And we have we could say we have one of the best brick and mortar infrastructure in the world. But other countries like India, China, and things like that only fulfill a very small component of their education and training. We're talking about in India, where they're still using only probably 15-20% of all the people they could actually train. Right. And for them, of course, if they wanted to train more university students, if they go through the brick and mortar approach that we did here, build university, regional, and things like that, it makes no sense. They would need, in the next 10 years, they would have to build, a few hundred, maybe 1,000 university.
Right.
Which makes no sense. So all of these took the heavy, deep plunge in distance education and with technology. So right now we have an online university that is quite good, that IGNU, Indira Gandhi University, that has over 4.5 million students credited.
Wow, that's incredible.
In China, you have Open University of China that has 3.5 million. And in the developing countries, you could say there's about now 12 to 15 online university of over 1 million students. So this is creating a new model of education in developing countries, where instead of developing like us brick and mortar over a long, long period of time, they're really creating online infrastructure to really, really reach people extremely rapidly. And that has, again, created a huge push on all these solutions, the MOOCs, the online universities, and of course, for the field of educational technology. So that you could say, we've been talking and we've been having discussion maybe for the last 15 years, when will this educational technology really explode? And now it is exploding.
100%.
But it's really exploding massively in developing countries.
Right, and they're able to kind of leapfrog ahead in a sense because of, the advantages over the cloud and cells versus putting down lines and all those costly hardware installations. Now, our Cross Canada spotlight is on Quebec. You have a vibrant digital media sector in your province. Are schools embracing innovation at the post-secondary level? And what about K-12?
That's really a big issue, Robert. And I think that's been an issue all over Canada. I think ministries of education have been fairly slow in adopting technology model. They've really been ramping on the safe side. We've seen some initiatives like smart boards and things like that. And Quebec is not very different from all the other provinces. And again, even simple things like bringing connectivity to K-12 and some colleges have been very, very slow. And now we could say that pretty much all schools are covered. But we still don't have this mentality that technology is really a way to help education. I think there's still this whole mentality that technology is here to replace the teacher, which in all experience I've seen, the successful one, it's not the case. It's actually enhancing teaching. And I think we're in this final mind shift where in the next 5 or 10 years, a lot more technology will become available.
Fascinating times. And provinces are challenged with the investments and infrastructure costs, but BYOD helps alleviate some of the costs. And as you alluded to earlier, costs are coming down.
Absolutely. And one thing that the people have been trying to do, and I think that's one of the perspectives that needs to be dramatically changed. Every school board, every university, every college is trying to reinvent the wheel within its walls. And I think that's a model that is really not cost efficient. All taxpayers are paying for everything anyway. But right now, in Quebec, there's a really great experience. It's called Cégep à distance. In Quebec, we have high school, Cégep, a college
yes.
level, and then university. And that replaces 1 year of university and 1 year of high school. And what they did, and of course in Quebec, We have regional college everywhere spread out, like in most province, like you try to spread out the knowledge base. And one thing happened that was really interesting. Like, of course, like every region, you would have like regional disparities, like some teachers could not be found in further away regions and things like that. So about 20 years ago, a group was created, BEPS, and they tried to fill the gap. So if final level chemistry teacher wasn't available in Gaspésie, then a course online would be created to palliate, to make sure that people in decentered region could actually complete their college level education. And before that, some of these students would have actually to travel to major centers to finish their college education. So they filled that gap, and it wasn't in the first stage really something exciting, because now a lot of courses, really selected courses, but they grew over time. And what happened there is they fulfill a lot more. Now, a few hundred courses available at Cégep en Distance, covering a vast amount. And then they start to attack other area, dropouts. So we know in Canada we have a fairly large dropout factor. People who don't necessarily want to go back to school.
Sure.
And suddenly they started to attack that field. And a lot of students that left college to go in the workforce because they have financial needs and or other reasons could now finish their college education, but at a distance.
That's powerful.
They filled that gap. And now they're starting to have more and more online programs where you can actually do your whole college education. And of course, that takes cooperation. So the Collège à Distance was created out of all the association of all the colleges working together to fulfill their needs. And I think that's the kind of philosophy education we need. Like, we have to stop school board from competing online. We have to stop university to compete online. We need to build one major infrastructure and share it and make sure that everybody benefits from it. I think the case of the Khan Academy in the U.S. is probably one of the best examples.
Right.
Where a central infrastructure, and I love Salman Khan. He's really somebody that gets me excited about using technology and education. And he decided to create and put like a huge amount of the K-12 curriculum online. And so much so that a lot of schools now started to look at how this could be used, because they didn't have the weight of creating this content, because it was readily available and the technology was incredibly simple. Now we've looked at a lot of schools flipping the classroom, using technology to teach, and now the teacher become facilitator, where they help students do their homework, do case studies and things like that. And so they focus on comprehension. And this is the type of model we really need to look at in the future, because it will really help us enhance learning. And I think this is the one thing we need to do all in K-12 or upper education, is we have to stop thinking in silo. Oh, my university is doing this.
Right.
No, I cannot share with this university. That's a faux pas. And in reality, this is the best thing that could happen. Like Cégep à Distance example was marvelous, because it stopped colleges from developing their own infrastructure, investing tons of money, repeating content one against the other. It
Right.
created that, and suddenly, it became very successful.
Fantastic. Well, that's a brilliant perspective you bring to the table here, Claude. Virtual table, I'll say. Let's talk about, you know, so much talk in the past about learning management systems, and now it's learning platforms, and they don't want to talk about LMSs because it's kind of passe. What's your perspective on some of these? D2L is, you know, proudly a Canadian company, and you've got Blackboard and Moodle. And what's happening in that space these days? Because this is a buyer's guide. So let's talk about practicality here. What makes sense for schools and post-secondary institutions?
Now, we need to realize again that the generation of what we call learning management systems, whatever we call them, platform or something else, was still the first generation of it. Like, and when you look at technology, I've looked at the authoring systems, the management system, there's always a series of generation. And usually the first generation is very organizational centered. So for example, so you have an LMS, you have your employees, you have the data on your employees, or you could say the same thing for a school, and then it's a closed system. And I think this is a first generation technology. Now, what we're looking at for the future is, I don't know if you've heard about like a APIX or what often calls is called TinCAN, is a broadening of this closed down model.
Right.
And actually, it makes no sense. Like, just think about it. You go to high school, and they got your data in the high school. You go to university, you got your data in the university. And then you go to a first job, they got your data in the first job. And then if you change job, every single employer has a little bit of data on you.
Right.
And, of course, nobody has a global picture. And that's where we need to move to this what I call the second generation of management systems. And that's what TinCAN is trying to create, is open up the data about learning. So the old LMS, I'm sorry, and I'm very happy to say also that they're probably at the end of this technology. So whoever is selling right now a closed down LMS will see this technology probably trickle down in the next 5 years.
Wow.
After that, we'll be looking at open system, where your LMS will share information with another LMS. And of course, it won't be blatant open. It will be like the learner will ask the university to send the transcript to the job and things like that. There will still have to be guidelines. It won't be like, everybody has everybody. And that will answer, remember the virtual portfolio?
Yes, conversation, yes.
It was trying to build a portfolio of a person over all the ages through what the person produced. And that's what TinCAN is trying to push forward. Instead of having a little bit of data in each of the organization about you, in the probably third generation, we will end up with a user data of knowledge. So whatever Robert Martellacci or Claude Martel or have learned, you could actually bring your file from your high school to your college to your employer. You would go to a conference, they would give you data, you could fit it in into your profile, and now we would have a much, much better educational profile for people. So that's a little bit down the road. Probably in the next 5-10 years,
right,
we will move from this closed-down LMS to these open LMS.
Well, that was a great segue to my next question about crystal ball gazing and augmented reality and telepresence and personalized learning. There's a lot of jargon out. At the end of the day, it's about making a difference.
Yep. And I think there's a lot of jargon here. And again, we have to look at technology at the stage where it is. And some technology will stay in the very first R&D mode. For example, virtual reality, aside from very specific application like in medicine or aviation, we're still in the very rudimentary approach to it. We're still not sure. Some people are using like virtual worlds, but very clumsily. So, and others are moving very, very rapidly. So, for example, virtual classrooms are now so incredibly mainstream and incredibly cheap that now there's no reason for not to use them. Developing material through an authoring system. Again, same thing. You can create now an hour of e-learning in a week with less than $1,000. And it's not that difficult.
That's amazing.
So, and of course, I'm not saying it's the jazzy Hollywood type. But again, most of the time, we don't need this Hollywood type production.
No, absolutely.
So the technology are evolving, and we really need to look at each of them at what phase they are. And some of them are still very preliminary. Some people said, and the tablets are one that are like shattering everything. Normally, everything goes slow and things like that. And there's major initiative around the world. Thailand has decided to have the one tablet per child program where they're going to implement something like 55,000 tablets in the first level of schools in Thailand.
Right, and Portugal had done that as well.
Yeah, and Turkey now is implementing over 1 million of these tablets.
That's incredible.
So this is moving on much more rapidly than we're used for, and it's really because they have so many incredible learning needs that now the technology can address.
Well, Claude, that's a good segue into what we're at risk of is falling behind in Canada, given innovation and the gap. We've, on the global scale, performed stellar in the OECD PISA rankings, but you can't get complacent. You can't sit still and not innovate. And that speaks to the whole issue around 21st century skills and ensuring that our future leaders are being served and not facing a digital gap, if you will.
And that's a discussion we've been having and I've been having with the DFATE and all the organization and education around Canada. It is really, in the next decade, we will see a huge globalization of education where major player like IGNU, I was talking about like IGNU, Indira Gandhi University in India, which a couple of years ago was just in India. They were around like 2.5 million students and they were only in India.
Right.
And now they started to grow outside of India. Now IGNU is over in over 35, 40 countries around the world, mostly in Asia and Africa. It's now becoming the largest university in Africa. And we see this knowledge revolution growing. And it's funny because it's often with mindset and knowledge from Canada, educational technologists from Canada work over there and work in these projects to implement this larger global education model. Now, what's sad about it is we create more educational technologists per capita than any other country in the world, yet we tend to be very, very shy in applying it. And you're right, there's a risk right now that in 5 to 10 years, we will see these major houses of education from China, from India, from all kinds of other places that will say, will compete with the local market of education.
Right.
And this is where a challenge will become. We've seen what that has done to the financial, the globalization of finance, of manufacturing, and probably my guess is in the next 5 to 10 years, we will see the globalization of education in some way or another.
That's fascinating discussion, Claude. We can go on for hours on this. Before we wrap up, I always kind of ask this fun question. What is the one technology that you cannot do without on a daily basis?
There are so many now. But actually, I'm still hooked up. I have a tablet, I have a phone, but I'm still hooked up to my laptop. And I'll give you a reason for that. There's still so many things. I have a MacBook Pro and it's wonderful. It has all the, but it's so incredibly powerful. Now the new laptop are so amazingly powerful that you can actually do what a server or almost like a more larger computer would do.
Right.
On a very simple, I edit HD video on my laptop now and things like that. And very soon that will probably be my tablet when the next generation of tablet fulfill all these.
Well put. And, you know, you still need a keyboard for a lot of the functions that you perform.
Yes, I write quite a bit. So a keyboard is still quite useful.
Well, any final thoughts to share with our audience as it relates to leadership, learning, and technology in the 21st century?
I think it's the time for resisting technology and education should be gone. And I'm sad to say, I just gave a conference, a keynote on the college system about this. It's really, we need to figure out how to best apply it and stop thinking about it's going to take the place of teachers and things like that. That hasn't happened. There's not one teacher that lost their job because of technology yet in Canada, and I don't think it's going to happen in the next 10 years. But we really need to help our teacher. We still have dropout rates that are way too high. We have demands for new. We need to recycle ourselves now in new jobs every 5, 6, 10 years. The demand for knowledge will grow exponentially. And I think it's about time that Canada take the expertise they have developed. We're a leader in educational technology and really turn it inside Canada to make sure that we also become a showcase of leadership in this area.
Very well put. And on that note, thank you for making your time available to us this afternoon, Dr. Claude Martel.
It's a pleasure.
That was Dr. Claude Martel, professor at the Concordia University Educational Department in the Faculty of Education. My name is Robert Martellacci of the Mindshare Learning Report. Be sure to check out www.mindsharelearning.com to get your latest copy of the Mindshare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.